From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the future through the eyes of an astrologer. Here's what's happening. New Orleans, very improved post-Katrina hurricane flood defenses are expected to face an extreme test as Tropical Storm Barry now threatens to turn into the first hurricane of the season and blow ashore with torrential rains. Barry could have winds up to 75 miles an hour. Now, that's just barely over the threshold for a hurricane when it comes ashore, a Category 1, but it's expected to bring a foot and a half of rain and already an area that has been flooded out, nearly 1.3 million people pushing inland. Could be a very dangerous situation. Multiple injuries reported on a flight that experienced turbulence near Hawaii. The Air Canada flight was forced to divert from its original destination of Sydney, Australia, landed in Honolulu. The crew reportedly requested the medical personnel meet the aircraft at the airport. Roughly 35 passengers were injured, some of them smashing at the roof of the plane. The estimated number of law enforcement officers who died by suicide outnumbered those who died in the line of duty for the third straight year in 2018, according to a study. Blue Help, a Massachusetts-based not-for-profit run by active and retired police officers, medical professionals, and victims' families, compiled and released the grim data. But why is this happening? Ron Barber is a former radio and television newsman from St. Louis, and for the past 35-plus years, he has produced nationally acclaimed video and online training for first responders. His former company, American Heat, for firefighters, and his current company, Line of Duty, for police and responders. Used by thousands of police officers, firefighters, EMTs, for continued training and education. Now, this month, he is releasing part one of a two-part series called Suicide Prevention, The Amazing Journey of Sergeant Mark DeBona. But let's bring Ron in now. Ron, why is this situation out of control? Why are they committing suicide?
George, first of all, permit me to wish you a happy belated birthday, young man.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. George, over the many years, I have interviewed so many cops who have been involved in critical incidents and what they call OISs, George, officer-involved shootings. And looking back on it, I now realize how many of these officers, in retrospect, had tears running down their cheeks, had jaws and chins that were quivering, had to stop the interview in mid-sentence because they couldn't complete the sentence due to the emotional overload. And this was not one or two, but literally three, four, five, or more years after they'd been involved in the shooting. They were still obviously suffering from what is called post-traumatic stress disorder, or post-traumatic stress symptom.
Which is what we hear about with our military personnel when they come back from Iraq or Afghanistan.
Well, George, that's another situation that is horrific. We're losing 20 to 25 of our veterans every single day due to suicide, every single day. And it's an international issue, too, George. France has been calling it a massacre as one French police officer is committing suicide every 4 days. So it boils down to this, George, and just let me ask you and your listeners a question. What is the worst you have ever seen in your life? What's the worst situation you have ever visualized? Well, whatever that is, a 20, 30-year veteran cop is going to have seen that same incident times a thousand.
Ron's website, lineofduty.com. Ron, tell us about this two-part series, and who is Sergeant Mark DeBona?
Sergeant DeBona contacted me about a year and a half ago, George, via email, and he said very simply that he would be at our service if we ever decided to move ahead with a program on PTSD and or suicide prevention. He's an amazing guy, George. He said in the email he'd had PTSD issues and had once been on the verge of suicide himself. And I'll tell you what, when you listen to his story, you know he came within a gnat's eyelash of suicide. And thank God Mark DeBona lived and went through the hell he did, George, because he has lived to tell his story, and he is saving lives. And by virtue of the two training programs we are offering, law enforcement and military, he is going to continue to save lives for years to come. He's an incredible guy, tells an incredible story, and I urge every law enforcement agency to visit us at lineofduty.com, lineofduty.com, and visit the online store. You're going to find this program to be invaluable.
Ron, we've got a huge police audience, and they're listening right now to you. And if you can save just one of them, it's well worth it. Thank you, Ron Barber. Starting Sunday, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, expected to resume its previously announced plan to apprehend thousands of illegal immigrants all around the country. Now, the reinvigorated effort comes just weeks after President Trump tweeted that ICE was preparing to kick off days of raids in at least 10 major cities. Now, the operation was halted. However, the day before it was set to start, to give Congress some time to arrive at some kind of legislative solution on immigration, the president said his administration would relaunch the raids after a two-week window, and here it comes, so we shall see. Drinking large amounts of fruit juice, as we reported yesterday, may raise your risk of cancer, according to a big study that has found a link between the regular consumption of all kinds of sugary drinks and the likelihood of developing disease. Let's bring in Dr. Gary Ridenour. Gary, I assume cancer loves sugar. Is that the reason for this?
Well, yeah, the study was in the British Medical Journal, and it was 100,000 people for 5 years, and it suggested an association, I want to underline that word, between sugar and cancer. The media now has let the dogs out, and the study has alerted everyone that sugar can cause some sort of cancer somehow. But right now it's kind of hard because it's a hard study and all the answers are not in for this yet. But, you know, they think it's time to pay attention to how much sugar we take in a day. And I think, you know, George, I think we've been down this road before, you know, cutting back our sugars. And, my God, you know the old study, if it tastes bad, add sugar.
That's the old saying. But now, I guess, slow down, huh?
You have to. I mean, you look at our children and save money. Get a small glass of milk and put 3 tablespoons of sugar into it and let them chug it down. And that's just like the little teeny, little kitty cereals that they just ate to go to school with.
Oh, God. All right, Gary, thanks. Folks, that's the bottom line. Be careful on your sugar intake because apparently it will lower your risk of cancer. A Japanese spacecraft has touched down on a faraway asteroid where it will collect space rock that may hold clues to how the solar system evolved. The very successful contact with the asteroid was met with relief and cheering in the Japanese Space Agency. It's the second touchdown for this robotic craft, which grabbed rocks from the asteroid back a few months ago. What an amazing feat. Well, as you know, we have lots of listeners to this program. And many of them are single parents. They work, some do, some don't. Some get child support, some don't. And they're trying to raise a family by themselves. It's a very difficult feat, but something that needs to be recognized. So several months ago, I assigned our researcher, Christian Weil, to investigate this story about single parents, men and women. Of course, most of them are women, but guys are going through this too. And he has come up with this story that we're going to talk with you about in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Now, you know the name, Christian Weil, of course, author, researcher, his website, myheartbook.com. And he's the one who put together the amazing package of turmeric for so many people and has helped them. He became aware of his own non-cholesterol-related heart disease, which inspired him to help others, and his turmeric formula won the Emord & Associates Excellence in New Health Formula Innovation Award back in Maryland for inventing these formulas that enhance health and life. I asked him several months ago to start working on a story, because he's a noted author, about single parents, because it's just my impression and knowing some people who are single parents that life is tough for them, where they have to work and raise a family, raise a child or two or more, And so here he is. And Christian, before we get going tonight, and we'll be bringing in later Kathy Smith, a marriage and family therapist, I want to thank you for the investigation that you did into this topic, which is not covered by many media.
No, George, this is the first time, to my knowledge, that it's ever been covered on national radio, and it's all due to you, because you have a heart for these kind of situations, and you brought it up, and so kudos to you, George.
Well, we're going to learn a lot about this, and next hour we'll take phone calls from all of you, especially those of you who may be single parents. Check in with us as well. When you started the research for this, how did you even begin?
Well, first of all, I am from a single parent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
I thought to myself, how many hundreds of thousands of listeners to Coast are grateful to a single parent that raised them? And then I start talking to parents that I have known and getting their stories, and then going to all of the different parenting organizations to find out what they have to say and what they've put together. And I've looked at the census reports. I think we could agree raising children in today's complex world with all the temptations, the safety issues facing our kids every morning when they leave the house is a challenging enough job for any two parents and an awesome responsibility for a single parent, particularly if they are sole provider and nurturer with their one, two, like you said, three or four or possibly five children. And the single mom who may be working outside the home for the first time in her life, and suddenly that reality must at times seem overwhelming, as you mentioned months ago.
I was talking to a single parent a few weeks ago, and years ago when she was raising her child, she got child support from the father, $41 a month. $41 a month. What can you buy for $41 a month, Christian, and
well,
take care of a kid?
You sure can't. And but fortunately, there are also wonderful fathers who are contributing and staying active in their children's lives.
Good point.
And working with the mom for the benefit of the child. But at the same time, there are millions of single dads who are raising the kids by themselves.
What happens in the relationship, of course, it breaks up? Either they were not married in the first place or they got divorced. But what happens when the single parent gets custody of the child somehow, or the prime custody of the child, and they have to raise them on their own? Shouldn't they be getting split custody? Or I guess that's kind of difficult, isn't it?
Well, it is difficult, but that's what the court decides. And sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they don't. There's also incarceration involved. There's also drugs on both parents' possibility. So there are reasons that a court might decide that this parent should have custody. It's healthier for the child, but that's, you know, up to the court.
I'm going to ask Kathy Smith when she joins us pretty soon, Christian, about the child itself and what is life like for them to be raised primarily by a single parent. Now, as you just mentioned, and correctly so, there are lots of parents out there, men and women, who are great parents, even though they're split up from their respective person.
Absolutely.
And they take care of the kid. But what happens to the kid, and this is what I want to ask Kathy, when the family is broken up and the single parent has to raise the child, and the child doesn't get the motherly or fatherly relationship because they're simply not there. I was very lucky to be raised by two loving parents. And as a matter of fact, my mother's still 90. She comes on the show every May during her birthday and takes over the airwaves.
And you've got a few million people out there that love you too.
But I got to tell you, they were the Middle Eastern country. You know, my dad was born in Cairo. My mother was born in Boston. Old customs. They were matched up by their parents. They had known each other.
And it worked.
And they were married until my dad died at the age of 88. I mean, they were married for scores of years. My gosh. But it worked. It was a match made in heaven. And in those days, you know, you didn't divorce. You stayed together for the benefit of the kid, which sometimes isn't the right thing to do either,
well,
is
that's
it?
True. And one thing for sure, the two-parent traditional family we grew up watching on TV, the Nelsons, Father Knows Best,
yep.
or the Brady Bunch. Remember the Brady Bunch?
And Donna Reed, remember
Donna
her?
Donna Reed, I forgot about her. It hasn't been the norm for decades. When according to the 1960 census, 51% of American children were being raised in a two-parent home. Today, single moms are being raised, let me look at the statistics.
Okay.
Single moms and dads are raising more than one-third of the United States kids.
One-third?
Yep. And last year,
it's
the
huge.
Numbers showed, look at this, 22 million children under the age of 18 were being raised by single parents. And to your point, George, that you made months ago, 80% of these American families are led by a single mom without a dad in the home.
Yep.
And at the same time, a few million single fathers, giving credit to them, are also raising their kids alone and making the best of a bad situation.
We will hear from single parents next hour when we open up the phone lines, for sure. But what is a typical day like, based on your research, Christian, for a single parent
who
has to work?
That's a great question. Well, her day is not much different from any other mother's day, except she's fulfilling two parental responsibilities alone. So ultimately, she has to be disciplinarian, a role that the father usually handled. She is chauffeur, breadwinner, handyman, or should it be handywoman today,
mm-hmm.
nurse, nurturer, and best friend, which she always was anyway, and actually the same for the single father. Nobody has love singularly. Dads and moms love their children the same. And a little later on, we'll talk about the way society looks at fathers because they don't feel that they're looked at in the same way. And this mother that we're talking about has to be a baseball and soccer coach on top of everything else.
And what happens when that parent doesn't feel good or gets sick, but still has to carry on?
That's a great point, particularly if she's having to go out and work. Possibly for the first time leaving the house. She's been a housekeeper and a mother, and now she has to go out and work. She has to be picking the kids up, making breakfast in the morning, getting them ready for school, and dropping them off with the daycare center or school, and then making it to her job, making minimum wage. And here's the big thing. How many of these mothers are working two jobs just to make ends meet?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's incredible. Just to pay for the daycare center. And it's overwhelming, and you can appreciate that. And I just picked up on your thought when we were talking. Maybe society needs to take another look at these parents, and we need to respect them more for the tremendous job they do in raising kids that are going to be good citizens and sacrificing so much as a mother or a father.
Oh, they sure do.
Yeah.
And I've witnessed this time and time again, and they do a remarkable job. And guys, we're not singling you out because you could reverse this entire thing, though most, as Christian was saying, close to 80% are women who are single parents.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys out there who are single parents, too,
yeah.
and have to raise a child and work, and they go through the same thing.
One of the things the mothers that I've interviewed mention mostly is they feel totally isolated and alone. They're making decisions that they don't feel comfortable making because normally they would make them with the father for the kid's benefit in the long term.
That's the smart thing. Christian, we're going to bring in Kathy Smith, the marriage and family therapist, with you next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We have two special guests for you now. Christian Wild, of course, who's still with us, our researcher and author. He has developed, of course, the turmeric formula. You can find out more by going to myheartbook.com or calling his toll-free number at 1-800-STEM-123. We're being joined now by Kathy Smith, the marriage, parenting, and children's counselor. And Kathy, you're in Las Vegas, I understand.
I am, George.
Interesting place to be a marriage counselor, I guess, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And, of course, Christian, you're with us. You jump in anytime you want here.
Yes. There's a woman that works.
Absolutely.
I don't know how many hours you put in a day, Kathy.
16.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you must see it all. And I assume some of your clients, and no names mentioned, are single parents.
Oh, plenty of them. I had three of them in today.
Wow.
Three people in today.
What do they talk with you about primarily?
Well, the big one that the way I get them rolling out of depression and you could say being paralyzed in fear is to get them to understand that we all choose our partners. Okay, we choose the people that we hook up with, right?
Yes, that's right.
And we all have a childhood, and we all have what I call the childhood program. And this is all of the experiences and all of the things we've seen, the way our parents acted, and every single human, actually every single living thing on the planet is programmed according to what they have experienced. And most people never think further than that, and they think everyone else thinks the way they think. Like if you were raised Mormon, you think in terms of Mormon values.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that kind of thing. Or if you think in terms of being a hippie, you've got the hippie values or whatever. So what happens is most people, when they first get married, and I'll make this really quick, or they hook up with someone, the way it really is working is they kind of marry either their father or their mother, and they have the romance period when there's a lot of love relation, you know, the attraction energy of more lightweight, you know, romance and that kind of thing. And that kind of falls off at about 2 years, and then they suddenly switch over, and all they see is what's wrong with each other.
Yeah.
And that's when they start to fight. Okay, so what I try to help people understand, everyone that comes through, I go for the program first. What happened in your childhood? What are your belief systems? Who are you? What's your birth order? What do you think men do? What do you think women do? How do we treat children? What happened to you? Were you abandoned? Were you betrayed? Were you spoiled? Were you ignored? You know, that kind of thing. Okay, then we fast forward it to the relationship partner they chose. Now, at first, you know how our culture, the media, tries to get us to blame everyone else for what happened to us. And it's very natural for people to go to that direction. But the minute you blame, you have lost all your power. You have no power whatsoever. You're a victim, and you have to wait for someone to come and save you. So now we have Snow White waiting for the prince or whatever. And so many single parents, if we're talking about females, but it could be a male, spend a whole lot of time talking to their girlfriends, and they get on so-called support groups online,
mm-hmm.
which are just complete complaining sessions about what jerks their partners are.
Right.
And that does nothing. It absolutely keeps them in the trap.
Makes them more angry.
Yes, and more victim oriented and more depressed. So what I try to do, or I do, I don't try, I don't believe in try. I either do or I don't do. And I try to get people to, when they say try, I stop the show right there and I ask, do you want to do something or do you not want to? And if you're not ready, it's fine with me.
Right. Don't give me try, do it.
Yes, do or don't do, but make a choice. However, the way I look at it, and I was raised in a dysfunctional family, so I picked up on a lot of crazy men, a husband and then other boyfriends, and I love every one of them. I don't want them near me, but I don't blame anyone for anything. I vibrate in everything. I'm a vibrational being, and so are you. I'm also in quantum medical school, so I've learned this that way also. And it's science now. It's called resonance. What you put out, you get back. Native American says, as above, so below. What you think becomes your physical reality. Jesus said, so as a man thinketh, so is he. The Eastern thought says, what you put out, you get back. I've studied Credo Matwa, Zulu shaman in Africa.
Sure.
Same story. Okay, so it's a real hard switch because media is constantly trying to make people victims. So we have to go through, you made a poor choice, but you didn't realize it, so you forgive yourself, and then you stop trying to control your ex to do your bidding. You try to stop making him be a better person and show up to see the kids or whatever. You know, you stop controlling, and you take your power back. You connect with other single parents. You learn your assertive skills. When I had to teach assertiveness training and conflict management, I think I was 32 or something at Boise State University. That is the best class I ever learned and ever taught.
Well, when they come to you, Kathy, are they a nervous wreck?
Oh, yes. They're frightened. They're poor. They're overwhelmed. And a lot of them, you know, we have to get right into not taking it out on the baby. And so what we move into very quickly is focus on your own life and your own manifestations and your own prosperity and keep your ex out of your thoughts. So it is a thought control issue. It's sort of like I think you had Eldon Taylor on.
Yeah, he comes on a lot.
Yes, and he would agree with me. You don't, and Napoleon Hill, you know, and Christian Wilde would tell you the same thing. And George Norrie would tell me the same thing. George doesn't have time to sit around and complain about people all day. He's too busy creating. And that's Kathy Smith right now. And I cannot believe the joy that I feel and the love that I feel, and also because we're vibrational beings, and this is a little bit thought creates reality stuff, but you do not have to work for everything if you keep your frequency high. In other words, if you don't hang out thinking about your problems every minute, but you just globally say, good things are coming to me, everything's going to work out, and you keep working and keep thinking and accept help. And then you keep your focus on what you're going to do. Now we run into what I just ran into is creating a little website for tonight. And my friend, my good friend David helped me. Just beautiful little website, I think.
Well, what's the URL?
I'm so terrible. The name of my website is www.highvibes777.com.
Highvibes777.com. I'll make sure our webmaster grabs that.
Thank you, honey. And that's because I do the quantum biofeedback. That's scalar waves.
How many of these single parents, Kathy, men or women, come to you because one of their biggest problems is the lack of money?
Oh, every one of them has lack of money.
Is that high on the pecking order of their frustration?
Absolutely. It's frightening. I was a single parent. And I actually, I came from quite a wealthy family and a famous family. But my mother was one of those you made your bed and lie in it kind of people. My dad.
She was tough. She was the tough one in the relationship, wasn't she?
Well, yeah. My uncle was Disney's biggest composer for 40 years. My dad was a fabulous musician. There was plenty of money in the family, but it was just her thing. I don't know. I also see that as something I vibrated in. I don't blame my mother. I don't blame anyone.
Let's bring in Christian for a second here, too.
Yes,
Christian,
let's bring in Christian,
you had mentioned that you were from a broken home. Was it difficult for you as a child?
Yeah, it wasn't a broken home. My father died when I was 4 and a half.
Okay.
And my mother raised 3 children. And it wasn't easy. But as I'm putting these thoughts together with you, George, I I kept thinking of her and appreciating her even more. And I'm sure a lot of people tonight will think back at a single parent and the role they filled in their lives.
Oh, that's dramatic. Well, then, Kathy, when they're with you, how often do they have to come see you before you start seeing that they're getting better?
Actually, I don't know what this is, George, but it's like three sessions. They start to really start to bloom because I
good for you. That's great.
I've been working for so long, but I'm also very intuitive. I'll put it that way. But I draw out of them. I do not focus on the negative. I focus on their strengths, and that you can see anyone just light up the minute you focus on the strengths. And I also encourage them. Like, for instance, I have to learn all these things like blogging, and I think I can't do it. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. And that's the way I teach the people that come to see me. If you don't know something, you have to ask for help. Now, that's a problem because people feel so under the gun, and they don't want to bother people. You know, it's that kind of thing. And so this has been very hard for me also. But the more I ask for help, the more people are – I have too many people now offering me help, and I don't know what to do. And then the ones that are finally – they finish their therapy or they're out of their money, now they want to spend time with me on the weekend.
How important is it to have some grandparents involved that are helpful?
Terribly important. But, you know, in the many, many families, what happens – again, I'm going back to the program – if the mother or the father – sometimes the father's not there, or the mother is busy with her boyfriends or her crystal meth or whatever it was – and sometimes the mother was never there. And some of these kids, I have a guy in the Air Force who was literally home alone almost all the time.
As a kid. As a kid.
Raised himself, yeah.
Jeez.
And now I've had him now for 10 weeks, and I see a huge change. My whole goal is to find out who he is, kind of like what a soul path is. I'm good at that. I do a lot of divination. What a soul path is, and we pump into that and focus into that and bump him up and get him on his path. And then I remind him about the fact that I don't allow him to see himself as a victim, but I remind him that some of us didn't really get to grow up till we were starting 35, 40 years old because we had so much emotional trauma to deal with.
Go ahead, Christian.
Give you a couple of points here. One of the issues that kept coming up in talking to single moms is how are they going with the little meager money they're making now, working two jobs, how are they going to put their children through higher education one day?
Oh, they don't even think of that.
Student loans, Christian.
Yeah.
No, and I see that online. I laughed.
I'm sure Kathy would agree. The main challenge many single moms describe is the overwhelming stress and the fatigue and a lack of confidence plagued by self-doubt, which Kathy is working with these people to give them confidence in themselves. I had a father I spoke to in Spokane, Washington. And he was one that said society looks at single fathers with a different eye, kind of like the mother could do a much better job than you. Well, she has.
I don't think so. I love men who are single. I have seen men be single parents that are just incredible.
They're working too, Kathy?
Oh, heck yes. They all work. But see, what happened with me, I had to clean houses on the side. I can do shiatsu or Reiki. I did that on the side. You know, and then my ex kept on giving my son milk, so it made him sick. And so I was stuck for 2 years. But then I was working a full-time job, spending 3 hours. I got up at 4 a.m, 3 hours a day holding them. And that's another subject I want to mention real quickly, especially about the cell phone. If you don't look in your child's eyes and you don't touch their body and you don't laugh with them and sit down. So I was sitting there 3 hours a day. Then I went to work, and then I came home, and then I sat again and made them dinner, and then I went off to school for 3 hours.
And at what point, where was the moment you cried and broke down?
Not often. You know why? Because I knew that I was in my power.
Would you be a rarity?
Would I be what?
A rarity? Because how many would break down and cry and sob?
You might break down and cry, especially, this is the problem. If you bring your ex around and then you buy the fact that, you know, whether he calls you names or, I had a girl the other day, the guy beat her up. And thank God this was the last time. She's done. And the same thing happened to me. I was stalked for 6 years, and there was not a stalking law in Idaho. But I don't know. You just have to, what I'm trying to talk about when I talk about thought creates reality is that you have to set your intention, and then you just have to trust that if you stay focused, and I mean hyper-focused, keep your intention in your mind. Any negative thought that starts to gel, you toss it, and you keep your focus. And
George,
I could think of Christian when he said that he took money out of his house and he hyper-focused on making turmeric formula. I promise you he wasn't crying. He was busy with all kinds of business things and totally hyper-focused, and that's why we have this fabulous product.
What were you going to say, Christian, before we hit the break?
Yeah, the fellow in Washington, we're talking, and he said, I would take my two daughters out for lunch or shopping, and we would encounter this woman who would just say hi to us, and one day she said, "And how did you get custody?" Just like that. And he said, "Well, these two daughters and my loving wife died of breast cancer."
Oh, God.
And that's how I got it.
That's how we got it. All right, stay with us. You two are going to share a phone line while we take phone calls. So if one wiggles the phone, we hear it on the air. So just make sure you know that. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.